This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 5, Episode 48, Season Finale. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we sign off before the break with a discussion about who has influenced us most in the last 12 months. And then we go on to talk about Kieran Pollard's very special 25-yard deliveries and if you can use them in your games, and how you can design an SAQ program for fast bowlers. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to coaching or playing better cricket. Wherever you are and whoever you are, this is the place to be for some audio goodness to help you improve your game. My name's David Hinchliffe, and I'm here every week. And alongside me, also every week, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hello, David. How are you?
I am fantastic, thank you. And we are missing somebody from the team this week, but he's got a good excuse. It's Mark Garraway, of course, who is with us every week as well. But unfortunately this week, while out in India and having reported back on a very successful tour to us in his article this week, he's gone and perforated his eardrum. We're yet to get a full report of how that happened. Perhaps we don't even want to know. Probably some hijinks, knowing Garraway. But he is out with an injury this week, Lever, so it's just you and me.
I believe he was listening very intently to one of my one of my articles, which has literally blown him away.
Literally blown his ears out. Well, that's what word can I use to describe how I feel about that? Extremely arrogant.
Just as it was intended.
Okay, well, this is going to be the last show of the year, because here in the UK, of course, we have Christmas coming up, and that's the same pretty much everywhere in the world. There are not many places where you don't have Christmas coming up. So next week we won't have time to record a show, and then the week after we're all going to be on holiday, probably somewhere exciting like Bali or somewhere like that. Then hopefully the week after that we'll be able to return to full capacity. So make the most of this one. It's the last one for a couple of weeks. And so it's a good time to have a look back on the last 12 months. And Lavers, I wanted to talk a little bit about the things that have influenced you most in the last 12 months. Hopefully you've developed as a coach and you've moved on and you've changed the way that you do things in certain ways, got better. And I wanted to know where the influence came for that to happen. So who would you say has influenced you most in the last year?
I remember the first time I read this question, and I was trying to think of what would be a really good answer. And we've spoken about this a bit, and I was thinking, well, as who are the great coaches out there that have really made an impact on me? And then I think, actually, in the role that I'm in, is it the world leader in coaching, or is it that international coach, or whoever it may be, that's really impacted on me, or is it someone a little close to home? And to be honest, I think the biggest impact on me has come from the people I work with, and that's not necessarily other coaches who I'm in and around, but more the cricketers that I get to work with day in, day out, and probably in particularly at the moment, I've got a really talented group of under 13 cricketers who are not only good cricketers for their age, but they're really, really focused and driven, and have set their sights on a number of things which are ambitious but very, very achievable. And the desire and the will to do well as a group of 12-year-old children, effectively, has been something that's really, really impressed me, and makes me realise sometimes that you're not the only one who's really trying hard to achieve things. You're not the only one who has ambition. And also there are a lot of young children out there who are actually extremely bright, extremely focused and extremely committed to what they're doing. And I think some coaches sometimes feel like the coach is having to work overtime as a motivator and as well as developing them technically and tactically and those other things. But I think the impact that this group in particular has had has been fantastic, and it's been a breath of fresh air to have such an exciting group to work with at such a young age. And it's almost like I'm working with a group of 17, 18-year-old boys in a first 11 who already know each other inside out, already know their own games and their role within a team. And we've already got a group of 12 and 13-year-olds who appear to be getting close to having that understanding as a group already. So that's been fantastic. The other one that has come up lately is that just for me is inspirational, and it probably is down there. The coaching route. He's actually been a captain, but that's something that Johnny Wilkinson's done. And one of Johnny Wilkinson's pre-match chats, which he's done down in France, and he combines both tactical input with inspirational energy and conversation while speaking in two languages at the same time to 14 plus other blokes. Is an incredible thing to watch, and you can see it online, you can see it on YouTube, no doubt, and we may even be able to get a clip of it at some stage. But it is absolutely fantastic the way that an individual can motivate in multiple languages at the same time in a pressurized situation and create emotion amongst men of all different backgrounds and ethnicities and nationalities. So it really does show that if you think something's unachievable, you think something, oh, that's a bit too much, maybe I'm not going to be able to do that. Well, to be honest, this is really impressive. And this is a guy who doesn't leave any stone unturned, and creating an atmosphere like he did was absolutely incredible. So that's one thing that will stand out as well.
Yeah, showing off is what it is.
I can imagine the guy who's stood next to him thinking, I've got to be captain next year, is thinking, oh, just steady on, mate. How am I going to follow this? yes. which is understandable once he's hung up his boots. But yeah, I imagine the coaches and captains around the world are thinking, the bar has just been raised. What am I going to do about that?
It's an interesting one when you talk about how players have influenced you, because as you said, you do think about big name people, you know, people who are innovating in the coaching sphere. But I guess that's one of the things that I've learned, or certainly cemented in this year, is that you can learn as a coach. It's your job to learn from the players. It's not necessarily their job to learn from you. So there's always going to be someone who does something differently, who thinks in a different way, who performs best outside of what you think is the best way of doing things. And you have to be able to learn from that person and develop alongside that person, and then help that person improve what they've got. And that's something which it doesn't come naturally to a lot of coaches, does it? I mean, a lot of coaches, I guess me included, in previous years, have thought that the job of the coach is to improve the performance of the player by telling them what to do. I guess sometimes there's a place for that, but most of the time you have to listen to what they're saying rather than telling them what to do, right?
Yeah, I think even though he's not here, I think Gara spoke about Duncan Fletcher probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. I remember him saying that he wasn't the coach, he was very much a consultant. And his job was there to facilitate and enable people to do things rather than show them or tell them what to do.
Correct.
And that is exactly what we're trying to do, or that's what we probably should be trying to do. I do think sometimes we can look at people and say, oh, I've seen someone do this before, I know how to fix it. But ultimately, you've never coached that individual, or you've never been in this situation before, because every situation is slightly different. So even if we've seen something before and we've got an idea of what someone's doing well or how someone needs to improve, speaking with a 13-year-old boy that you've never met before, or a 25-year-old man that you've never met before, whatever it may be, you've never had that experience before, because it's a completely new experience. You may have had things that are very similar, but I think appreciating that every coaching session is different, every individual is different, they're in a different mindset today than they were yesterday, means that there's always going to be a challenge. There's always a different way of approaching something.
I also want to quickly mention a couple of mine. I'm also going to step a little bit away from cricket. I don't want to say any of the obvious ones that maybe listeners are already thinking of. There are a couple of people who are worth mentioning just from a broader point of view as influencing me. Holistically, perhaps you could say, and that includes my cricket because cricket's such an important part of my life. The two I just want to quickly mention is an Italian called Federico Vittici, and he's nothing to do with cricket at all. He runs a website which is all about iOS, the iPad and the iPhone, and to a certain extent the Apple Mac. But he's very much one of these guys who like to innovate, who like to push the boundaries, who like to get the most from what he does with his computer equipment. And he's given me so many ideas around the technology sphere in the last 12 months that he's definitely worth mentioning. And if you ever want to geek out over anything to do, especially with the iPad, he's the iPad king. If you want to ever want to geek out anywhere around the iPad with making the iPad more efficient and be able to do more with the iPad, then Federico is the guy to go to. Is MacStories.net is his website.
What's his surname?
Vitici.
Vittici.
Vitici,
I'll be seeing Federico later.
yeah. Yeah. And the other name I wanted to mention was, again, someone who has nothing to do with cricket. He's an American comedian called Pete Holmes. And he does a podcast called You Made It Weird. And it's kind of been a journey of him, of the podcast has been a record of how his life has changed. And he does it by interviewing other comedians. And they talk and they make jokes and they talk about serious things and they talk about the role of the comedian in modern life, and it covers such a wide gamut of things. They talk about life basically, but they do it in a funny way. They always do it in a funny way. It's always an interesting person that he talks to, and he's just as interesting as well, because often the person he's interviewing will end up interviewing him and asking him things, and it becomes a lesson in life, but in a funny comedic way. It's not for everyone, because sometimes the podcast can go on for over 3 hours. So it's definitely not for everyone. But if you want to get a little snippet of how someone has developed over a year, then You Made It Weird from Pete Holmes is a great podcast to listen to if you're on a commute and you want to load up a few of those to listen to. It's a fun podcast if you can get into it.
Very good.
So those are just a couple. But let's go on to the yes/no round now to finish off as we do traditionally with this part of the show, and it's three questions. It can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that we want to say. And I'll join in this week, Lavers. The first question is, every bowler benefits from a braced front leg.
No.
Yes. Second question, results are more important than processes.
No.
Yes. Third question, excuses prevent self-reflection.
Yes.
Yes. Right, let us enter the questions section for this week. And this part of the show is all about you, the listener. A couple of people have sent in some questions to the show, and they're either listen to this show or they read the Pitch Vision Academy website. And they've sent in the questions to us, so hopefully we can help them. And the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions into us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. And the first person who's done that is Pat. And Pat sent this in via Twitter. He hasn't emailed it, he sent it in via Twitter. And Pat says, what do you think of Kieran Pollard's 25-yard deliveries?
Yeah, good. I've seen a lot of people do them over the years, and with generally with a reasonable amount of success. Pollard's certainly not the first person to do it, but I mean, he's someone who's doing it reasonably regularly at the moment. But I think there's some definite merit to it. I mean, one of the things that people rely on, especially in 2020 cricket, as batsmen, is rhythm. So that's timing of their movements, being aware of when they're going to try and swing and synchronize their body movements to generate power. And one of the things that from a 25-yard delivery you can do is you can catch people slightly unaware, and limit that power or that rhythm that they can get out of the shot. So I definitely think that it's something that people should not overuse, but people should be aware of and consider using their armoury, especially if you are that type of bowler who doesn't necessarily have raw pace, doesn't necessarily have a load of options up their sleeve in terms of different releases, which Pollard hasn't got lots really, but it's a way of sneaking an extra ball past the batsman and hopefully getting another dot ball or even potentially getting a wicket. I'm not sure, have you seen much of it in use outside of international and first class cricket?
You do get the odd sort of wily spinner who has played club cricket for 20 years and he's got every trick in the book, and this is one of them. because he knows he can put the ball roughly where he wants to put it, and that is an important part of the process of doing this, it's something that upsets the rhythm of a batsman, because suddenly the ball's coming out when you're not expecting it and you're feeling rushed, but the ball's taking longer to get there. And as you said, Lavers, everything's just off. It works well when the batsman's going for it, obviously, because the batsman's trying to hit everything out of the park, perhaps, you know, the death or something like that. And he's through the shot too early, or he doesn't quite get the timing of it right, goes up in the air. Some pair of hands catches it. But you don't see it a great deal. And I think maybe you could see it more, but I wouldn't want to see it a lot more, because it is an interesting variation, but it's also a variation that can go wrong, like all variations. And spinners have a lot of options when it comes to variations. So for suddenly everyone to start doing it, I don't think that would make a lot of sense. Just because there's other options that you can have which can be equally or even more effective, and also don't upset your own rhythm as a spin bowler or a seam bowler. So, yes, you do. To answer your question, Levis, you do see it. You do see it knocking about, especially when the guy's 45 years old and he's been hit for six and he wants to try something, and he hasn't got, you know, he hasn't got an arm ball and he hasn't got anything else apart from the one to put on a length. It's just something different, isn't it? But like all these things, you know, you want to, before you unleash it in a game of any import, then you do need to make sure that you've had a go at it in the nets and you can still land it in the right place, because you don't want to bowl back from 25 yards only to find out that you bowled a long hop. It kind of defeats the object, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I would assume that no one thinks there's not a moral issue there, is there?
No, I don't. No, I mean, there are certain ones where I think we've talked about these in the past, haven't we? Where I can't remember who it was. It was a West Indian bowler who sort of pretended to...
Yeah, pretending to pull out of his action, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he bowled it anyway. And I didn't like it.
That one was pushing the boundaries, I thought, a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it was clever thinking, but that one was borderline.
Yeah, I thought it was over the line. I think Gareth was okay with it, but I thought it was over the line. But yeah, this is fine. As long as the batsman's watching you, then it's fair game. There's nothing. The only thing you've got to watch out for is if you bowl from behind the umpire, then the umpire is within his rights to call a no ball. And the reason why the umpire's in his rights to call a no ball is that he can't see where your back foot is. So if he can't see where your back foot is, how can he decide whether you've bowled a back foot no ball or not?
In which case, following on from that,
yeah,
should there be a ruling against the landing position in relation to the return crease, given though the return crease only comes back a certain distance?
Yeah, well, in the laws, the return crease is infinite. It's just it's only marked a certain distance. So
with the likes of a Pollard, then, if he's playing in a game in the IPL, should whoever is involved to the ground staff be made aware, look, this guy's going to bowl from further back?
Yeah.
Let's continue that return crease back, because there'll be some people. Imagine if Dominic Cork did it. Where would he be bowling from?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With his run-up, he could be bowling from 2 feet outside the return crease if he bowled early.
Yeah, precisely. And
So maybe it's something to just consider in terms of continuing that line, or ultimately just saying there's a limit to the position you can bowl from. But
there's an unofficial limit in that if the umpire decides that something is not quite going according to plan, then he can call you for a no ball. I think it would be a very officious umpire who just did it the first time.
yeah.
Certainly, if I was umpiring, I might turn, and it would be in a, probably in a club, situation under 14s or something, and a boy did it. I would probably turn to him and say, just try and be just be aware that I can't see where your back foot is, so I might be inclined to call a no ball if you keep doing that. And that may just stop him from doing it in the first, carrying on doing it anyway. But there's a certain amount of common sense as well. I mean, you know where the ball's coming from, and if it's nowhere near the outside line, then you're not going to do anything about it as an umpire. So, but that is something to bear in mind if you're using that tactic. The umpire is well within his rights to call a no ball because he hasn't seen your back foot land.
I know a 17-year-old who bowls from there just completely accidentally sometimes. Just can't get his
Messes it
run right. Yeah,
up.
just can't get his run right. Sometimes he no bowls by 3 meters and bowls a 15-yard delivery, and sometimes he's 2 meters behind the umpire. Still lands in a decent spot, but yeah,
Well,
sometimes just forgets to count to 10 or whatever he's supposed to be doing for his run up.
you do see that. Okay, let's move on to the next question, and it's from Imran. And Imran says, it's another short one. Imran says, how can I design an SAQ program for fast bowlers? It's been a while since we talked about SAQ, isn't it? Speed, agility, and quickness. Is it still in vogue with you, Lavis?
I think elements of it still have value. Yeah, I think what you'll find with most strength and conditioning coaches, who are the men in charge these days, is that SAQ will be a part of a program. I think there were stages where SAQ sort of came into sport, and across multiple sports became this is the future. This is what everyone has to do. Get your yellow ladders out, and you'll be fine. And it's definitely a portion of a training program should be accredited to it. But as with anything, developing an athlete physically comes down to identifying their movements within the game, identifying the duration of those movements and the demands of those movements, and then developing an appropriate mix of lifts or movements or drills that simulate that and can accelerate those things, or can stretch those movements. So in a fast bowler's instance, what can we look at as the things we have to do? Well, generating balance or a stable base is a key thing. Creating power with the upper body as well as the lower body, so sprint power and then delivery power is another thing. Maintaining trunk or torso position, so having good stability, trunk stability is another important thing. So if you look at the actual requirements of a fast bowler, having an ability to move quickly and have an element of agility which can be provided by SAQ drills, or an element of medicine ball work for power again, which is becoming increasingly popular and also relevant for fast bowlers, are the things you want to include. The question, however, is how can I design an SAQ program for fast bowlers? I would say don't bother. We've got loads of them on pitch vision, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, we have actually. Yeah, there's lots of programs that you can. In fact, SAQ is a trademark, isn't it, of a company.
It is, yeah.
So we don't have actual SAQ programs because you would be, required to be licensed by SAQ, but they don't own the rights to exercising, and the principles behind them are not copyrighted things. So yeah, we have plenty of programs that are designed to improve the speed and the agility and the quickness of fast bowlers. So you can have a look at them. It does require the SAQ itself does require a lot of gadgets and gizmos and elastic bands and all kinds of crazy things. There's a thing called a Viper belt, I think. So there's all kinds of
Yeah.
stuff. And they all have you. I don't think any of them are useless. They all have uses within the correct context. But also, you can do a heck of a lot of stuff with virtually zero equipment as well. So don't think that you must go out and spend, you know, several thousand pounds or dollars or whatever on buying all this equipment when you don't necessarily need to. You could do a lot with a very little. I mean, you could probably do a lot with a couple of resistance bands and a medicine ball. Even less, you could probably do a lot with just body weight, in fact. You know,
Yeah,
there's so.
completely agree. You can do a lot with your own body, and you can achieve a lot with your own body and some external frame or
Yep.
structure that you can utilize to work
Pull.
against. But as
Yeah.
you said, a medicine ball or a couple of medicine balls are great.
Sandbags.
resistance bands for stability.
Yeah.
Sandbags. Any external weight that you can use, which is flexible and durable enough to be thrown around. There are lots of different things you can use. You don't need to have a medicine ball collection of Stephen Jones. If you saw his recent tweet online, where I think he had about 40 different types of medicine ball, I think he'd overdone it slightly. But it's good to see that he's obviously trying to. That's his specialism, really, is within S&C, and that's what he's trying to do is make sure he's got something to cater for everyone, which it looks like he's absolutely doing there. But I think we can overcomplicate things sometimes in terms of SAQ and how it's and what its function is.
Yeah.
Think about, I mean, for instance, are there fitness fundamentals which are generic, more than just specific to fast bowling, that you can be doing which will improve you first of all, and then you can specialise more and more and more as you pursue your fitness or cricketing dreams. So.
Yeah.
Just weigh up the relevance of every little thing. I'm sure there are gadgets, as you said, that you can buy that are 500 quid a go, and they might be adding 1% to you. But can you go out and on the park and do 30 meter sprints over and over again, and that will actually add 10% to you? So it's just thinking about the value of different things and how much impact they'll have on your performance.
And I think the secret of doing that is to understand what the underlying principles are. So if you spend some time learning about the underlying principles of how to develop, let's call it athleticism, because that's a good all-encompassing term, which means not necessarily cricketing skills, although cricketing skills can be included in that, but also strength, speed, agility, quickness, which I suppose is, you know, being able to accelerate and change direction quickly, and those things aren't necessarily important for a fast bowler, but they're important for fielding skills. They're important for being able to run a faster two, because you have to turn and get out the blocks quickly, that kind of thing. So all of those things are important, and there's certainly, if you're serious about developing a program like that, then you can spend as long as you like on Pitch Vision Academy, going through the fitness section, and there's so much there which is free, and there's an even bigger section where you can pay to have pre-designed programs and get the principles behind those pre-designed programs. So there's a huge amount you can do for nothing, for just a little bit of investment of time and learning, and then going out there and doing stuff with players in a way that's first is safe, because you don't want to do any harm, and then second fits in with your ability to coach those players. So how much time you have with them, you know, how much equipment you've got available to you, all those other contextual factors that you want to get in. So it's very difficult to give a general answer. You have to really know the context of someone. But the general answer for me is learn as much as you can about. You can't. You never. No one got any stupider by learning something new. So learn something new. Even if you decide, you know, I'm not ever going to use that, learn it anyway, because you might get a couple of little things that you can use as a cricket coach or a group of fast bowlers that you can all put into action, and it's going to improve your game. So, yeah, learn how can you design an SAQ program for fast bowlers? Learn about fitness for fast bowlers.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And now we are heading into the soapbox section of the show. What that means is that one of the team has 60 seconds talk about anything they like. They're not going to get interrupted, but they can't stop talking either. So they've got to really think on their feet with this one. And as you can imagine, because I'm the one doing the introduction, you can logically deduce one thing that Sam Lavery this week. So Labour's over to you for this week's soapbox.
Thank you very much. Well, for many of you, as we know out there, Christmas is arriving, and as a result, there's a bit of downtime for people. And one thing I'm always keen to do is maximising the time that we have off. And now, for a number of people, they'll see that automatically as an opportunity to rest, relax, have fun, which is fantastic. Enjoy yourself, enjoy the break. However, for others, it might be an opportunity just to steal a march on those people that they're potentially coming up against. So if we can maximise the amount of time that we're going to have to have off over that period, think about how you can use it in terms of fitness development. Think about how you can use it in terms of reviewing the work you've already done. So over here in England, we've already got about about 2 months' work of winter, 2 months of winter work done there. So review that and use it to think about how you want to structure things going forwards. So just have a little light on in the back of your head, which is just still going, thinking about what you've done and how you're going to use the time off and the time in the future before the start of the season.
And so, just like a Christmas present, we're wrapping this show up. That was my very best Judge Jules impression. What do you think, Labours?
Excellent, well done. Yeah, really
remember
impressed
him? By that. Yeah, thanks very much. There's people going, Judge who? Anyway, look him up.
I think Gareth is probably quite glad that he can't hear at the moment.
Right, okay, I'm taking that as a hint that we're getting out of here. Right, so before we go, we are going to decide on the winner of this week's competition, the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And Labours, which one did you prefer this week? Pat's 25 yarders or Imran's SAQers?
Both interesting questions, both short and sweet. I think one thing that hasn't come up a lot before is the idea of bowling from 25 yards and how that can be utilised as a bowler, and whether it's something you can do a lot or something has to be done infrequently. But it's not something we've talked a lot about. We have talked a bit about SAQ in the past, so I want to go with Pat and his 25-yarder from Kieran Pollard.
Congratulations, Pat. A 25-yarder is always good, as far as I'm concerned, whether it's football or cricket. Now, Labours, if someone was listening into the show and they wanted to send in their question to us, then there are a number of ways that they can do it. What would be a couple of those ways?
Yeah, they can get us in a number of ways. First of all, they can catch us by telephone, which is 0203 239 7543, or they can drop us an email, which is coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. Our Twitter is at pitchvisionacad. It really is. And you can also find us on Facebook. If you want to send us a message there, then we do our best to answer all of those. And you can find us by going to facebook.com and adding on Pitch Vision Academy onto the end of that with a slash. And that's the way that you do that one. Now, if you want to listen to this show every week, and this is your mission perhaps over the Christmas period, to subscribe to the show if you don't already do so, then you can do that by going into your podcast app on your phone or your tablet or your iPod, and you can search for Pitch Vision Academy in there, and we will be able to be subscribed to just by hitting that subscribe button. Not all podcast catching apps have us in there, so if we're not in any of those, then go to pitchvision.com/academy, click on the podcast link, and there you will see all the previous shows, and in every show is a link to be able to subscribe in whatever podcast catching program that you want to use, whether that's on your computer or any other device. That's all for this week, and that's all for this year. So we hope you listen next time, and we hope you listen next year. But until then, have a good Christmas and an even better New Year. Cheers, Labours.
Thanks, David.